The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Happy Friday to you. This is Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and you're listening to Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. Currently, we are in a series where we're exploring the various meanings of the words saved and salvation in the New Testament. Maybe you didn't know that those words actually mean different things depending on the context. Well, you can go back and listen to the previous episodes in this series on our website, faithalone.org. But as for today, we're in our second look at Romans. So let's let Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar take us right into this very interesting topic. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are exploring salvation. Now, you think you know what salvation is because you've heard in church Sunday after Sunday about how Jesus saves us from hell. And by the way, there isn't actually any place called hell. It's the lake of fire,
right?
That's really the place that you go to.
The eternal place, or the place right now is Sheol or Hades.
Or Hades. Now, you think you know what salvation is. You think salvation is salvation from this place called hell to going to heaven. And even going to heaven is not exactly right. Heaven is more just a layover, not your permanent place.
Right. If we die before the rapture, then we'll go to heaven for a time. But we're going to be on the millennial earth for 1,000 years, and then we'll be on the new earth forever.
So hell is not really even the place that you go, and heaven isn't really the place that you end up eternally. So popular Christianity is pretty messed up.
It is.
And one of those examples of being messed up is on this word salvation. There is a sense where Jesus saves us eternally.
Right?
He gives the believer eternal life simply by believing in him for that life. But there are other kinds of salvation, other aspects of salvation that Jesus brings to us, that God wants to give to us. And one of the aspects of salvation that we're looking at today is in the book of Romans. And this is salvation from...
It's salvation from wrath, or God's judgment in this life, temporal judgment. And primarily in Romans, it's directed to born-again people.
Right. Paul is writing to the church in Rome about how to experience this salvation.
Right. Now, unbelievers also need to be saved from God's wrath in this life, but that's not what he's talking about. In fact, in Romans 1 and verse 15, Sean?
So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also.
Now, this strikes a lot of people odd because another word that's misused, and I have a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, is the word gospel. A lot of people think gospel means saving message or the promise of everlasting life.
A lot of people think the gospel is what I need to do to be born again.
And in Paul, the gospel is the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, bodily from the dead, on the third day, and that he appeared to many. 1 Corinthians 15, and according to 1 Corinthians 15, 2, we must hold fast to that message in order to be, quote-unquote, saved, that is, spiritually healthy. Here is the same thing. He wants to preach this good news message to the believers in Rome. He's not evangelizing the believers in Rome. He's wanting to share with them the message of the gospel. And of course, in Paul, the term gospel is kind of shorthand for his entire preaching ministry. In other words, it would include talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and it would include talk about the return of Christ. The point here is when he goes to Romans 1:16, which immediately obviously follows verse 15,
right?
It starts out with the word for, which connects back to what he's just said.
Right. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
Now, that's one of the messages he wanted to preach to the believers in Rome.
Right.
He wanted the believers in Rome to be saved from God's wrath. And what's interesting is after you read 15, 16, 17, you then get, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness.
Right, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So a lot of people think the cross fully satisfied God's anger, God's wrath, and he's not angry anymore. He's not wrathful anymore. That was finished at the cross. But if that's true, Paul didn't know about that.
Right, exactly. Well, obviously that's not true because both unbelievers and believers experience consequences for our sins.
Yeah.
In other words, the idea that we can, if you're born again and you are, you can sin, but you can't sin with impunity. If I were to go out and rob a bank, I'm going to reap negative consequences from that. Even if the government doesn't catch me and put me in jail,
yeah,
God is going to discipline me.
Right.
God is going to bring judgment in my life. If I'm involved in stealing or lying or cheating or immorality, all of that has consequences from God.
So if some people will say, I thought God was loving, I thought God was, you know, merciful. How can God be loving and yet also be showing all this wrath all the time?
You know, that's the oddest argument, but I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, some people say that the Old Testament isn't even God's word, essentially, because
right.
that's the God of wrath, and the New Testament is the God of love, like there's some kind of separation between the two testaments.
Right.
No, God is not one thing. He's all of his characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
He is love. But look at it this way. Doesn't Proverbs say, he who spares the rod spoils the child? He who spares the rod hates the child?
Mm-hmm.
So if God is a loving parent to believers,
yeah.
is he not required to spank us when we need it?
Sure.
You've got three children. If you let your children just do whatever they did and you just gave them all kinds of goodies and you just were their buddy all the time, would they grow up the right way?
Zane would already be in Rikers Island. Just picture a six-year-old with scars and tattoos.
He'd be there already.
He'd already be there. Life in prison.
So there is a need for loving discipline.
Yes.
And wrath doesn't mean that God's shaking his fist. And it doesn't mean that the way he expresses the wrath is an unloving way.
Right.
He's lovingly disciplining. So I think it's important that we recognize that when Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, he's saying believers can be saved from the wrath of God. And I think it's important that as we look at the other uses of the word soteria, salvation in Romans, I think we'll see this develop. So let's go to the second one, which is Romans 10:1.
And notice, Romans 10:1 is deep into the book. I mean, it skips over the justification section. It even skips over what many would consider the sanctification section.
Right.
Right?
And by the way, you know why we're going to Romans 10:1 next?
Why?
Because this is the next use
yeah,
of salvation
well,
in the book.
That's what I'm saying. So salvation actually appears outside of the justification and sanctification.
Right. Now, there is a use of sozo, the verb, in 5:9. But that is referring not to being saved from eternal condemnation either.
Okay.
He says, we shall be saved by his life. And I believe he's saying we shall be delivered from wrath mm-hmm. by the resurrection power of Christ if it's manifested in our life, as Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 talks about.
Right.
But here now we come to the next use of soteria in 10:1.
10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved.
Right. Now, most people think what this is saying is that his desire, and maybe saved is the to be verb, esten, to salvation. So, is to salvation, basically. It's translated as a verb, but it's really a noun. And the point here is he wants Israel to be delivered from God's wrath. As Paul is writing, Israel is not a believing nation. Israel is soon to be judged in terms of the destruction of the nation, Jews being spread throughout the Roman Empire, the temple being destroyed. And it's not going to be until almost 2,000 years later before Israel is going to become a country. 1948, Israel becomes a country. Now, Paul doesn't know all that, but he does know that Jesus has said that the temple was going to be destroyed and Israel was going to be overthrown. And so his desire is for national deliverance.
So in the verses right before, Paul's talking about justification. And the verses right after, Paul's talking about justification and how the Jews, instead of believing in Jesus, tried to attain righteousness through the law, and they didn't do that. Verse 32, because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And he says in verse 30 that they did not attain righteousness. And then in chapter 10, verses 2, they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Isn't this like, isn't he talking about salvation in terms of justification here or no?
I don't think he is. The reason I don't is going to be further developed as we look at the other uses of soteria in Romans. And it is true that most commentators do understand it this way. For example, Doug Moo in his commentary on Romans, John Whitmer in his commentary on Romans, Leon Morris, they all take it that way. But here's what Zane Hodges says, and I think this is a helpful comment. The term for deliverance, soterion, is to be taken here consistently with the use throughout the epistle of the word group sozo soteria. And he says, see the discussion at 116, 5, 9, and 10, 8, 24, 9, 27. Its reference is to rescue from temporal display of God's anger against Israel. Let's say this. Let's say hypothetically Romans 10:1 could be talking about salvation from eternal condemnation in light of the verses, as you say, before and after. Let's look at Romans 10:10, which is the next use of this word, which I think, again, is much misunderstood. Are you familiar, Sean, with the Romans Road?
Yeah, I used to use that all the time.
Okay. Well, the Romans Road is Romans 10:9-10. Let's read it, and then in the next episode, we'll go over Romans 10:10.
Okay. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay, now notice, what is necessary for righteousness?
You need to believe.
Right, and what is necessary for salvation?
You have to confess with your mouth.
Okay, so there are two different conditions and two different results.
And yeah, there's two different benefits here. There's the righteousness, which he was talking about.
In the verses you mentioned.
As I pointed out.
Right.
But then there's also salvation, which seems to be something different. Okay, so this is interesting. And if you want to hear more, you're going to have to listen to the next episode.
There's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, there's a cliffhanger.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Monday's program, we're going to continue looking at Romans, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.